Welcome to the midday. We're going to get some good vibes today. The next half hour, we have a fixture with us. I'm Norman.
I'm Stephanie, and Jim Latimer is our guest today. He's the conductor of the Capital City Band and the Volunteer Community Band and a number of other ensembles, played timpani with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. And he's here because he is going to be performing and directing the Madison Marimba Quartet this a week from Sunday. Welcome, Jim.
Welcome. Thank you very much, and good afternoon to you.
Well, a Marimba Quartet, I mean, we see them occasionally, but somehow it seems like the kind of thing that would just invite a train wreck unless everybody is really on top of their game.
Well, yes, we don't like to think about that. it's fun. We've been doing this now since, a good 15 years or more. So you learn to relax and to enjoy the moment, you know. As a matter of fact, one of the pieces on the concert, while it's on my mind, because we usually ask someone from the audience to play Sleigh Bells along with Leroy Anderson.
You do? How? Well, how can they do that?
Oh, there's a volunteer every year.
To play the marimba?
No, play the sleigh bells. Sleigh bells in the background.
Literally the sleigh bells.
Yeah.
You can't go too far wrong
with
that.
So this year, we're inviting everyone to bring some sleigh bells. Just some small ones, not expensive stuff. And then I'll ask for a player, and everybody has sleigh bells. And then we'll just have a happening there.
I think you will.
It's fun.
You have a lot of CDs here, credit, and actually we're going to hear some classical stuff during this half hour. And who does all those arrangements, though? I mean, you take something that was originally for a string quartet and work it up for four marimbas?
Well, the string quartets are played from the original parts. That's how we got started. Just as soon as they introduced a five-octave marimba where I could go down to low C, then we started playing off the cello parts, the viola parts, and the violin parts. And that's the staple of our work from week to week and day to day. Right over there is a bag of string quartets that we're taking back to the library. I'll pick up another section, and each week we're going through the entire string literature.
I'm surprised it hasn't been done sooner.
Well, you see, we didn't have that range available to us. We started out playing on a bass marimba and then right next to another marimba. And, of course, it was too much distance. But we're working it out slowly. Yeah.
You're a retired professor of percussion, right from the
Correct.
School of Music.
Right.
So besides marimba, what other instruments do you specialize in?
Well, I play a little piano, and I have studied 13 different instruments since college.
Rumor has it you spent a little time over in Egypt.
Yes, I did. That was a delightful and, yes, a delightful
experience. How did that come about?
My son was with me. I was a Fulbright scholar, and I taught at the Cairo Conservatory. And my son, James D., who plays in the band, went with me. Well, he had to introduce me to the real Egypt, because we were told to do certain things by the Department of State. Mm-hmm. He just went in and got with the people, and he was riding the tram, taking the bus and everything, and of course, I didn't do that for a while.
So how much marimba music was there in Egypt before you got there?
Oh, they had fantastic percussion. Fantastic. But we brought in some of the Western concepts, and we just had fun doing it.
Is there a lot of classical music in Egypt?
Oh, yeah. They're classical music. Eastern music from Egypt East is a little different from ours. It sounds a little bit out of tune to our ears, but there's fantastic activity. Oh, yeah.
What are the origins of the marimba? Is that an African instrument?
Yes, I think it started in Africa as a straw fiddle. They would take these logs, which had pitch laid on straw, and play them with tree trunks. With the limbs, and they got the sound there. And from there, it has progressed to the sophisticated instrument that it is today.
To the five-octave...
Five-octave marimba, yeah.
So is it a given that a marimba player is also a xylophone virtuoso?
Yeah, should be.
Same kind of thing.
Right. All the way down to the orchestra bells, which can be most difficult sometimes.
The Glock?
That's the Glockenspiel, mm-hmm, yeah. You know, I am thinking of the...
Yeah, that's Carol of the Bells. Is that a tough one?
You have to match that with the flute, see. And the flute is only about, what, 15, 18 inches.
Right.
But your instrument is quite a bit larger.
You've got to move around.
Move around, yeah.
What are we going to hear?
Well, let's start with one of those direct, not even transcription. You're playing from the original score of the Dvorak String Quartet, number 6 in F, and this is one of the more demanding movements, Molto Vivace, is the third movement. This is the Madison Marimba Quartet. From the score, Antonin Dvorak, the third movement of his string quartet number 6 in F, the Madison Marimba Quartet.
Led by Jim Latimer, who is our guest this afternoon on the midday. The Madison Marimba Quartet, every year between Christmas and New Year's, provides a free concert to the community. If you're in South Central Wisconsin, it sounds like the place to be. A week from Sunday at 1 o'clock in Mills Hall on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Well, how did this tradition get established, Jim?
When I was teaching at the UW School of Music, we were experimenting with the percussion ensemble, so we were running into all kinds of literature. But it occurred to me that the greatest writers are the greatest writers, the Beethovens, the Mozarts. Why can't we enjoy some of their music, okay? And so we started experimenting with a select group, and out of that came the Madison Marimba Quartet.
So I have to ask how you do that thing where you're holding two mallets in each hand and you've got them wedged between a couple of fingers, and mm-hmm. how do you get it to be so accurate consistently holding those sticks like that?
You do that every day. That's your goal. You don't go to sleep until you have practiced.
Same way you get to Carnegie Hall.
Absolutely.
Just one of those things.
Yeah.
Just keep everlastingly at it.
Yeah, everlastingly at it.
You spent some time teaching and also directing, I think, the Madison Youth Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra. I've forgotten about that. That's a great group.
It is.
I conducted them for about 6 years.
Did you ever have any young marimba players that came up through that?
Oh, sure. There are a whole lot of them. And Peter Tadic. I don't know where Peter is now, but Jeff Brady with the Madison Symphony. And oh, no, he was not with the Weisso. We were talking about Weisso.
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm thinking about marimba players mm-hmm. when I was teaching at the university. Mm-hmm. But, there are a lot of them. I can't recall them right now because of my experience.
Speaking of your experience, Jim, mm-hmm. you've been at it for a while.
Yes.
And who was actually the marimba player who was the kind of guiding light for you when you decided to become a marimba player?
I think most of us came across the name of Claire Musser, who did some experimental work. By the way, the composer who was on your staff, he just recently passed, and he wrote the theme... All Things Considered.
Sure, vaguely.
Yeah, Don. Don played in a group here with Claire Omar Musser.
Oh, really?
Yeah, years ago. Well, anyway, he wrote fantastic pieces for marimba players. And, of course, the challenge was to be able to play like.
To master that.
Like that. So I was more or less raised on that.
It's almost one of those things, seemed to me, that, you know, maybe a pianist or a violinist from listening to recordings could get inspired and say, I can emulate that technique or that style, but a marimba player, you almost have to see what they're doing, don't you? Really, to be able to duplicate it?
Actually, many piano players make excellent marimba players.
Really?
Yes. The thing that you have to overcome is the inability to feel. The feel that you have with your fingers on the keyboard, you do not have that on the marimba.
Right,
and
it's
so
indirect.
You have to trust your inner vision of the keyboard, and you have to believe in what you're doing, and you reach for that octave, and you don't dare look. Sometimes you miss, but you make it a subtle miss.
Make it a grace note.
Yeah, and a positive.
We'll get that note eventually. In the meantime,
you meant it that way. That's right. Just do it more than
Absolutely.
Once, and people will think you were doing it the correct way.
Absolutely.
There's so much wonderful literature for marimba. There's jazz and classical. And were you raised in any particular genre or studying any particular genre of music?
My mother was a vocalist, classical vocalist, and I shouldn't tell this story, but
oh,
I will
ahead.
Anyway. She did not like jazz.
Oh.
And so I was raised with the idea of jazz is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, it took me some years to shake that off. All right? But I won because in 1972, when we had Duke Ellington here, my mother rode the bus from Oklahoma up to Madison to see Duke Ellington.
Well, that's really kind of the ultra and symphonic jazz, isn't it? I
mean, that's a choice
sound.
Example, you know, mm-hmm. because you know, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. But I had to accept what they were doing, and I'm glad that we did.
Well, let's hear something that's, if not jazzy, it's a little bit toward that side, the Blue Tango.
Oh, yeah, Leroy Anderson's group.
And the Madison Marimba Quartet.
Well, Jim, you've got a concert, a free concert for the community coming up a week from Sunday at 1 o'clock at Mills Hall. What's going to be on the program?
Well, we open with Amazing Grace. That's sort of our theme song. Then we'll go into the Beethoven Quartet, Opus 18, I believe, number 3. After that, we have a special guest, Calvin.
Okay.
I won't tell you any more about Calvin, except that he's going to play with us.
Great.
And then there is a snappy jazz tune that follows that. The name escapes me now because I'm concentrating on the fact that in the second half, we're going to play a new version of Klint. Klint Sprock, Wonders of Physics.
Oh, yeah,
wrote
sure.
A tune
Klint Sprock,
for him.
Yeah.
Oh, must have been 15 years ago.
Listens to our midday quiz question.
Yeah, we have revised it. Frank Ferriano, mm-hmm. Madison composer-arranger, has taken it, and we've expanded it a little bit. And he will be there, and we're going to rededicate his tune to him, Klint.
Well, that sounds like a gala occasion.
Oh, yeah. We have lots of fun.
I couldn't resist getting in Gollywog's Cakewalk and hearing what that's going to sound like, that WC from the Children's Corner Suite. And this will take us pretty close to the quiz question. Thank you. that's the kind of thing you can immerse yourself in, isn't it? You know, the sound coming at you from all these directions. Gollywog's Cakewalk by W.C., originally for piano, but there, rendered very capably and atmospherically by members of the Madison Marimba Quartet.
They're led by Jim Latimer, our guest today on The Midday, and they also include Tim Gruber, Laura Goosey, and Tom Shaver. And they'll be performing a week from Sunday on campus at the University of Wisconsin in Madison at Mills Hall, 1 o'clock, a free concert. And for more information, you can visit the website mmqccb.org.
Jim, always a pleasure.
Well, thank you a million. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, Norman. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
I'm just thrilled at watching you work all these buttons.
It's fascinating. We work very hard, don't we?
Oh, very much so.
Be willing to put that in writing, with possibly department letterhead.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to that.